This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Yeah, Frank here, he's got his own billiard room.
Yes, it's the...
billiard room.
Come on already. We call it the...
The Place to Be.
Yes, the Place to Be. The Place to Be.
Then I shall be there.
Now, it's time. Live and in living color.
The Grandy Man can.
Ugh. Time to play the game!
No, you left me satisfied and smiling.
That's what she said!
Why do I want this? I want to make bank, bro. I want to get ass. I want to drive a Range Rover.
Place to Be Nation, Scott Criscola and Justin Rosero. This is the Place to Be Podcast.
Very nice, Mr. Criscola. Oh, I'm sorry, Dennis.
Japanese band Oral Vampire produced a song called The Repo Man and used footage.
Oral Vampire, huh?
Oral. A-U-R-A-L.
What kind of show is this?
Sounds like some Twilight porn in my collection there.
Oz went on to star in America Tie, of course.
Bismarck.
No, was it? Bismarck, wasn't it?
Bismarck.
No, who's the other guy I'm getting confused with?
Bismarck, yeah, he dressed as North Dakota.
There's only one place where the big boys play, and that is in my extra queen size bed. Well, it just happens. What can you do?
Let's talk the fix.
I think they might hit a shock wall.
Is that the Shockmaster's wall?
Yeah, I like Big Dick myself. I was just curious. PTB Nation, let me know what
you're
doing.
Our opener.
To do worse than Josh Richards.
My love is back. I sit and watch it the roof standing where I'm at. But I'm thousand yards behind my lover's back. And I'm keeping my secrets mine. I push my seat in her bush for life. It's gonna work because I'm pushing it right. If Mary dropped my baby girl tonight, I would name her Rock and Roll.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to another fun-filled episode here of the Place to Be Podcast. I'm your co-host, Just Rosero, coming to get you live here on this Monday evening, Championship Monday. In the house, of course, as the NCAA football title game is on here. Oregon has just taken a 7-0 lead over Ohio State. And I'm going to go ahead and bring in my PSC, Scott Criscola, because we have a bunch of guests tonight. We're doing a live watch, and looking forward to it, Scott.
We are. Good evening, JR. Good evening, Place to Be Nation. Welcome to episode 357 of the Place to Be Podcast. And it's amazing because I haven't mentioned what I normally mention when we get within 50 episodes. And that is, of course, the magical four bills.
Should come up around the end of the year, probably.
Yeah, I know.
We'll get there eventually.
Yeah, but anyway, yeah. good 357 tonight. And how was your weekend, JR? How are you feeling? Everything good?
All right.
Yes, I know. In the history of the Place to Be Podcast, you're on sinus infection, what, number 300? This is the 357th sinus infection.
Yeah, it's going to be up there again. Diagnosed with yet another one, so suffering through this. So, tough weekend. Slept in the recliner a couple nights. It started off rough when I had to bring my mother-in-law to the airport for 5:45 Saturday, and since then it's just been a debacle of lack of sleep and coughing. But fires are hot. So another big win.
Yes, they are.
A big game on Wednesday. Excited about that.
Good game Saturday for both teams. Georgetown gave them a good game, and Friars win in overtime. But that's the essence of the Big East. And Fox Sports 1 actually had a good doubleheader because the Creighton Seton Hall game right after was pretty good as well. And some upsets yesterday, and here we are Monday night, and they're in Arlington, Ducks and Buckeyes, and you know they're goofing because of all the combinations of Oregon uniforms tonight. Apparently, they have the dullest.
Well, right? Yeah, I mean, white, you'll be up on that podium. You don't want those neon bullshits out there.
Yes, yeah, so. Exactly. No, they should truck Ohio State tonight. But anyway, JR, we got a fun-filled, exciting, long-awaited network watch tonight. Let's dive in.
Okay, well, we're gonna eventually have three guests. One is lagging a bit behind, but he'll be joining us shortly. So let's start with 10 years, we always do. So we'll bring in the one and only, I think he's been on more episodes than you have now at this point, that is Steve Willie. Steve, how are you?
All right, Steve.
Pretty good. I might as well move in at this point. Yeah. And we got like the all Big East panel on tonight. You know I'm on. You can't even throw Marquette a little bit of a bone.
Well, I'll tell you, Steve, on my client CBS Sports Network Wednesday night, Creighton Marquette.
And then Creighton Marquette in the
So
probably will be 47-44.
Yes.
Can't be any more Big East than that throwback on Saturday afternoon.
Oh, my God. That rock fight that went on at the dunk. That's pretty much the essence of Big East right there.
And, Steve, I think you might be closing in on Kevin Kelly's record for most guest appearances. We'll have to have a staff statistician go over that. But all right. Cowboy, how are you doing?
Oh, doing fantastic. Doing very well. How are you?
Good. You ready for some Raw?
Awesome, Kevin. Always ready for some Raw. And, Steve, the Friars will throw Marquette that big bone for you when they come to Providence.
Yes, it will. They're going to win by about 20. No one wins on the road.
Big week.
You're not supposed to agree with me there, Steve. Come on. defend your boys a little bit. They already beat them once.
It's a rare down year for Marquette.
A solid eighth place in the 10-team division.
Well, DePaul will be back down there soon enough, I'm sure.
Thank God, where they belong.
All right.
At least we have the Pats.
All right. So let's talk the fix and as well as Raw. So we are up to two very big episodes, as Scott mentioned. One super big one, and that's the first one we're going to be up on here, and that's May 17th, 1993. Of course, the last couple we watched had the big Duggan and Shawn Michaels title matches. And we head in here. Nothing's really advertised yet to be big, but as we'll see, things will get very interesting as the show begins. So our third guest will be joining us in a few minutes, but we're going to go ahead and get started anyway. So I believe everyone should be queued up. I have the first flash of blue from the Raw animation here.
Yes.
All right.
And before we start, let's quickly go over, obviously we have the categories. Yes. Yep. And most 90s, best match. Could that be challenged this evening? Of course, the Steve Willie Best Mullet Award this evening, or in other words, Most Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Okay. And of course, we'll grade. and that's men and women. And of course, we will grade the show when it ends. So, JR, let it rip.
All right. Is everyone frozen? Ready to go?
Mm-hmm.
Let it go. All right. 3, 2. Hard into our animation this week.
Rocking. Right into the open. Yep.
Now, Roger, I'm curious, because I know Steve, Scott, and I, and eventually Chad will know what's coming, but do you have any idea what this episode's about?
Nope, I just saw in the little box when I clicked it on the on the network. I saw Razor Ramon and 1-2-3 Kid, I think.
Okay. All right.
That's all I know.
All right, well, you're in for a good one.
I'm guessing this is a live, right? I think we're on the live end of this taping.
I believe so, because I think the two Duggan matches were taped the same night. I'm sure they weren't going to fly Duggan in twice way down the plains.
They're claiming to be live.
Yes.
Savage. It must be warm wherever they are, because
wow.
If they're live or not, he's
rocking the Ohio State Buckeyes colors tonight.
Yeah, letting the guns hang out. Okay. And Steve, of course, is our audio man. Anything we should be interested in here?
Yeah, there's some Special Olympics weightlifting going on right now, and I'll spare what that looked like.
He could get it off the ground. Good for him.
Yeah. Oh.
Savage was there rooting him on.
Yeah, that was pretty impressive. I mean, the boy was only came up to about Savage's chest, and he pulled that thing up.
So I was wrong. Last week was live, as is this week, and our second episode later will be taped the same night as this one. So more to know. Back-to-back tapings here in the Manhattan Center.
Fink telling the ring girl to make waste.
Well, big glasses back there. Glenn Butler special right over Vince's shoulder there. And the mullet. Look at that. Big glasses and a mullet.
I like Heenan's jacket.
That is pretty swank.
Like that pumpkin orange. You know, you can't pull that off these days.
Yeah. Bobby got himself very comfortable as he started doing these Raws. He didn't go back. He didn't wear his old school jackets and ties.
Like a Bengals jacket almost.
Yes. Right?
Same kind of color.
Does that say Raw? Does it say Bobby on the sleeve or does that say Raw? That must look like it says Raw.
It says Raw.
Yeah. JR, do you remember if they sold like the stuff Bobby wore that had Raw on it? Like, I don't remember that jacket anywhere.
I don't know. I'm not sure, honestly. I don't know. I don't even want to try.
I don't know either. I don't remember.
Levy, I guess.
Alfred. Looks so out of place.
Sean's shirt's the best, though, that weird-ass 1991 catalog shirt.
It's like buy one, get one free.
Awful.
This is the replay from the last week's episode. Fighting the...
Yep.
Is that when Michaels wore the shirt with the rockers on it?
Yes.
Yep.
And the cowboy boots.
He's about to put his feet through...
Gotta respect the cowboy boots.
Going to put his feet through Fink's windshield again.
Definitely one of the best angles we've seen so far on these.
Yes.
I don't know how we missed this guy from almost 90s last time. This guy with the green tucked in shirt and the fanny pack to the side.
Oh, yeah, huh? Fanny pack action there.
I was wondering for a second if that was Carino.
Which one, the green shirt?
Oh, no. Oh, no, he's not. I just saw him turn around.
Okay.
It's like Ralphus.
There's a contrast right there.
Sorry.
Bruce Pritchard really getting hot in that action there. I like the usher with the megaphone. What the hell is he doing? Just walking in circles. It would have been pretty cool, though, to just be walking down the street and you see this nonsense going on.
Pretty awesome.
Although, probably pretty used to it in the streets of New York. Just let Alfred outside. Everyone's decked out tonight. Look at that. Al looking sharp.
There he is.
Gray suit, red tie, blue shirt.
You can tell it's going to be something big.
He's kind of got the Luther Van Damme going on with the blonde hair, a little tan.
Yes. I was just thinking that myself.
Oh, Lord Alfred Hayes saying that if you thought that was good last week, you should have seen this thing he saw this week before the show started. Someone was sneaking around in disguise.
In disguise or in disguise?
In disguise.
Okay.
Repo Man again?
Oh.
Yeah. This might be a debut.
It is a debut. Smoking Guns.
Finally, enough of those terrible vignettes, and let's see who the two scrubs are.
Is that our buddy L.A. Gunn?
Gore. L.A. Gore.
Whoa.
Gore, yeah.
I don't know if it's him. But wow,
I don't think that's L.A. Gore.
Got our Backlund guy in the crowd.
Yep, there's our Backlund guy. I'm sure he'll be on. Let's see. Who are these two guys? Oh, okay. Glenn here Ruth. We go. We've already had it. He's already been noted, right? Because he's been on once already, right?
Yeah, he definitely was.
Yeah, he's been. And, so he's been noted. So,
tag team partner Garth Campbell.
That is a hell of a mullet.
It's just like Dana Carvey in a wig.
I'll double check here, see if this is confirmed whether we are taped or not. Let's see. Nope, this one's definitely live, and the next one was the same night, so there we go. So we'll confirm they're both on the same evening, and we dive into our first match here of the day. Philip, Bill Alfonso, your referee. Yeah. We don't have to really mark the refs.
Fucking Jay Glazer over here, sources.
That's right.
Confirming information.
That's right.
Who's now, our Roger, trainer? Of all the guys in the ring right now, and Glenn Ruth is shorn pretty nicely, but there's three solid mullets going on here.
I know.
Absolutely. Yes, very much so. Yeah. Oh, big Billy Gunn fan. Huge Billy Gunn fan. Always have been. You guys?
You know, he's on the show every now and then. Maybe you can come on when he's on.
On the Place to Be podcast?
Nice mustache, though, Billy Gunn and Bart. Maybe we'll start a mustache
yes.
count. Yeah, Billy's okay. I always liked him in the tag stuff. That when he'd have a single run, he'd be kind of wishy-washy, but he was always a good tag guy. You could get to give him that. He's been through some good teams.
I really liked the Mr. Ass thing. Loved it.
We are quite a ways away from that, that's for sure.
Here is Mr. Stash.
Mr. Stash, yes. From Mr. Stash to Mr. Ass. That's the name of his autobiography. This guy, this tag team partner of Glenn Ruth's, looks like Jarrett, a la, like, 1986. Really thin with that really long, fluffy blonde hair when he was in like World Class and Global. Right? Was he in Global? No, he wasn't in Global.
The
he looks like just like a guy from what's that? Beautiful Bobby.
Kind of. Maybe not. Obviously not as big, but yeah. If you go back to like 85, 86 NWA, Bobby Eaton's mullet was quite fluffy. Yeah. Very true.
And I was kind of kidding because I compared the Beverlys to them on the last one.
But I did find a way to definitely compare the mullets, though, Raj. So even
it's great work, Scott.
Even by accident,
mediocre work. The which of the mullets do we like? Which one's more robust here, Billy or Bart?
Well, the thing I've been really thinking as you guys are talking and breaking this mullet down, but Billy's is really.
Oh, man. Steve, you dropped out for a second there, right when we were about to find out your thoughts.
I know, the awesome analysis.
I'm going with Bart's mullet. It's more full.
That is true, Cowboy.
It is. It's more lustrous.
If you can have a, if you can see the mullet in every angle, that means you're, you got a good one going. Straight ahead, Billy's.
But does the hair color help? Does the blonde help Billy's at all?
Billy's got a Joe Dirt mullet. He looks just like Joe Dirt. Same haircut.
No sideburns. Definitely. Almost like it's not real.
Like, he looks like a guy who's kind of being forced into that mullet for sake of the, for the sake of the angle.
Sake of the team.
Bart owns his mullet. He wouldn't cut that thing. You know, he'd quit the industry before he cut that mullet, in my opinion.
His power slam by Billy Gunn. Good old Glenn Ruth with his salmon tights.
The other guy hasn't even made it in the ring yet.
Yeah, he's just kind of chilling there, looking like beautiful strange, Bobby.
Strange looking. That's actually a decent move. If he didn't get
it's wrestling finisher.
Yeah, to kill him.
Botched a pile driver. But, yeah, so Billy backdropped Ruth. Bart caught him and pile drove him.
For the win.
The other guy didn't even wrestle, huh?
Yeah.
Are they going to kick his ass?
Nah, they're fan-friendly. They don't do
they're
that
happy,
stuff.
They're happy faces, yeah. See? Thumbs up.
I think I like Billy's mustache better.
Bart's kind of
got
that.
The Fu Manchu. Mm. Billy almost did a suck it there for a second. That he was doing. Todd with some nice pants.
He kind of did the suck it.
Right? He did.
Revolutionary.
I think I'm about 2 seconds behind you, so I can confirm that was very suck it-esque.
Suck it-y. Steve, you back?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I just got jumped by a bunch of people. Looked like just covered in mullets.
Packer fans. So we didn't get to hear your... We didn't get to,
and green and yellow pom-pons.
We didn't get to hear your breakdown, so...
Oh, the breakdown, what I was thinking about, Billy, is I was leaning towards him because... It was short and so tight on the sides and on the top. It just gave that optical illusion of having there be more than there actually is. I'm sure Roger's probably knowledgeable about that.
Roger went with Bart. He said Billy looks too much like Joe Dirt. He liked the fullness of Bart's mullet.
Ah, yep.
More of a real thing kind of guy, Steve, you know?
Savage and Bobby getting a little one-on-one time here. Look at that guy behind him. The cut-off green, that green hat and the... Tank top under him.
Trying to see what team that is.
Is that a Sharks hat on with him? Or?
Let's see what team that is. Is that a team or is that just like a generic?
Yeah, I don't think the shirt was a team. The hat may have been.
Oh. Savage looks like he's like ready to go be a mascot for the Bulls.
I know. He is fired up, jacked up.
And The Bulls colors. Like, I mean, those are Chicago Bulls colors.
No, they're headed to the finals or they're in the playoffs anyway. Maybe he's rubbing it in on the Knicks.
Hmm. Which we could all get behind that, right? Mm-hmm.
Sean looking a little bit like a Sherry tonight.
I think too. Sean's been a workhorse now. We hadn't seen him for a while. Now this is his third straight Raw.
Yeah, he was super, not on for a while.
Yeah. Super flamboyant tonight, huh?
Yes.
Is this interview where you guys said we can't be missed?
Oh, yeah, a lot of big stuff about to happen here.
Vince is not happy about the chants going on, by the way.
Speaking of not happy about something Vince is involved with, we have Jordan Duncan on the line with us. Duncan, how are you?
Hey, how are you guys?
Whoa, Jordan Duncan.
That's right. It's a shocking Raw debut.
Yes.
even though I've been on here multiple times.
The tapes have burned.
Last minute, Chad had to bow out, so Jordan is here with us. And, Jordan, we're at a pretty interesting spot on the show. We are 11:37 in, as I say that, so prepare accordingly. Shawn Michaels is chatting with Vince McMahon. You missed a great smoking gun squash. Some good mullets.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Who'd they fight?
Glenn Anyone? Ruth and someone else with a mullet.
But that didn't
look like
that.
Garth Campbell from Wayne's World.
Glenn Ruth has really made the rounds on these early Raws, huh?
Yes. And the other guy didn't even get the match. Glenn was in the whole time.
What a selfish, selfish jobber. All right. I'm almost caught up to you guys.
Okay.
So you mentioned the Bulls, Cowboy. At this stage of the NBA playoffs as we speak, in the Western Conference semis, Suns Spurs were tied at 2, and Sonics Rockets were tied at 2 in the West. And in the East, let's see. Bulls were leading Cleveland 3-0.
And they actually played, they clinched that night, May 17th. They beat the Cavs.
Yep. And Michael hit a game-winning shot to sweep. And in the other series, JR, the Knicks were leading the Hornets 3-1.
No, I remember very well. Thank you. Yep. They would close out the Hornets the next night.
Yes. Tough series, though. Forgot about that double OT game in Charlotte, mm-hmm. at game three. So
Sean is talking about his past and saying how everything he said he's going to do, he's done. He's won the Intercontinental Championship. He's defended all over the world, and now he's taken everything Perfect has given him. McMahon calling him out for being a reluctant fighting champion, and Sean's not too pleased about that right now.
You know, what's interesting about this to me is when I met Steve Willey at the Rumble last year, that's actually the shirt that he was wearing is what Sean has on right now. So.
Yes, it is true. Are there crosses at the end of every single fringe?
I believe so.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
A lot of detail.
Willie, I didn't know you borrowed stuff from D'Amato's closet.
Oh, yeah.
It'd be tie-dye if it was D'Amato's closet.
Yes, that is true.
Speaking of D'Amato.
Whoa, what's going on here?
Like just jumped in the ring.
Say we got someone in... Uh-oh.
Decked in Orlando Magic colors. Oh, my God!
Marty Jannetty has returned. The hell of it. That crowd is going crazy here. I remember just flipping out, watching this live at the time.
Oh, yeah.
So he had not been back since the tag team broke up?
Right. Well, he came back after he got thrown through the window. They had a match at the 93 Rumble. Remember, you watched that match. And then he left right after that. So he's been gone since January.
And he's still wants to kick Michaels' ass, huh?
Oh, yes. And Michaels had issued that open challenge, so...
Oh, this crowd's going bonkers.
Yeah. It's like there's Dean Ambrose thing where the crowd loves Jannetty, but he always loses.
Well, we'll see.
Not quite, but pretty close.
I think it was more, too, just having a big surprise like that. And
yeah.
They were all over Sean with the Sean is gay chance and all everything else going on. So I think they like seeing him, especially after the Duggan stuff the last couple of weeks. It's like Jannetty wants a match right here tonight.
Yeah. Nice.
Because Sean said you don't have your gear, right, Steve? And then he said...
Yeah, he did. He said you don't have your gear. Vince said he'd allow it. And also, what was great about it was that Sean had just gotten through saying that he would defend against anyone at any time.
Right.
So and that was right before Marty came out.
So, looks like we got a big match set for later tonight.
Nice.
There's a lot of hair in this episode.
Lots of it.
Heenan comes back, says, I can't believe you conned him into doing something like that.
Talking to ringside here, setting up the big match.
Pumped up.
Right, do you think this is our biggest match and what?
Probably Flair Perfect.
Think so? We haven't had anything bigger since?
I don't think so.
I mean, I guess...
We certainly haven't had a title match, right?
I would say Beefcake DiBiase was a pretty big deal. Mm. I mean, in retrospect, it was a fart, but...
Another guy we haven't seen in quite a number of episodes. The bad guy. In his standard home purple gear, JR.
Oh... That wasn't very nice. He offered his cheek to the Rosati sister and turned away.
The kid this week, we've seen him be the Cannonball Kid, the Kamikaze Kid.
And now just the L Kid.
Yeah.
The kid with quotation.
Tonight he's the LaRue Kid tonight.
He's just a guy who's getting his ass kicked at this point, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he wasn't Jason Kid yet, so...
So you guys like Razor in this one, is what you're saying?
Yeah. Kid's not looking good. He's got his ass kicked 2 weeks in a row. Razor with the classic purples on.
Yep, I was saying his home.
Speaking of Kamikaze, he played some Cards Against Humanity this weekend with my buddy Glenn Butler came down, Mr. Flanagan, Mr. Machado was in the house. And one of the cards was #worst day ever. And I dropped Kamikaze out there, and I won that round with that one. So that was pretty good. No, I thought it'd be a better laugh. It's a good card.
I guess we'd have to know what you were up against.
Well, I mean, who's really having a worse day ever than a Kamikaze pilot?
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe his wife. I don't know.
I'm going to give Jordan that round, actually.
He didn't have a card. He's just making shit up. Mine was actually in my hand.
He had one of the blanks from the expansion pack.
Yep.
Rays are chucking Kid around here, laughing it around, laughing it off. Still got the L Kid on his tights.
Mm-hmm. And we know that stands for lightning for anyone who's going to write in.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was like Spanish. It was L Kid.
Yeah. Well, but I said before that it's LaRue Kid.
Did yes. you guys watch Lightning Kid on ESPN back in the day?
I had seen him a little bit, yeah. I think I had tapered from Global a little by that point. Oh, maybe not, though. I was still watching towards the end. So, yeah, I think I remember seeing him there. I definitely remember reading about him a lot in, like, PWI and stuff.
Yeah.
Who was that?
I think he's...
The Kid. Lightning Kid. Yeah.
This is him?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it really does stand for Lightning.
It did, yes. Yep.
Okay. But I like they just call him the Kid.
That's why he's got all the lightning bolts.
So why... Never mind.
All right. Well, he was in Global Wrestling.
Different type of wrestling.
Yeah, he was in Global Wrestling, which was on ESPN, and he was the Lightning Kid, and then they signed him here to be a jobber, basically, and they changed his name every week as part of the gimmick.
Got it.
And he is no longer a jobber because
that was nice.
The Ooh. Kid has defeated Razor Ramon for the upset victory, and another huge moment.
Wow, huh? You guys didn't give that one away at all.
Sandbagged you. Told you it was a big episode. So the Kid defeats Razor Ramon, make a name for himself. Razor flipping out.
Not as much as that fan in the back.
And everyone's stunned. You would think this,
from Marty Jannetty.
This is like Taker and Brock. Crazy. It's like Taker and Brock Lesnar with some of these fans. They're like really shocked. It was a big deal at the time, I remember, because you never saw anything like that.
I was just thinking, you never saw guys like that win matches.
Yeah. And they built it well, having to be a couple weeks, not just a guy in his first shot wins. You know, they had him get his ass kicked for a couple weeks. And good moment. One of the really memorable moment for them in the first half of year there for them.
Yeah, that was really cool.
And like I was saying last week,
it's freezing in there, I guess.
Not for Savage. I remember being really pissed because I taped those 2 weeks before this one, and I didn't bother taping this week's. And I remember being really upset because it was like ends up being an all-time classic episode. Now I can watch it for $9.99. Cameron has zoomed right in on those.
Wow!
It is.
Bobby Heenan
zoomed in on the thermometer there.
40 degrees in there, man.
Yeah, Tatanka.
Is that why you were so upset you didn't tape this one, Justin? Little pause action right there.
Tatanka was watching backstage. He got a glimpse of that, and he's charging the ring.
I know, right?
Look, he's glaring at her now. Wow, look at those.
There's a fan holding up a Tatanka teddy bear. I do not remember that piece of merchandise.
And that there's Scott Taylor.
Scott Taylor. I believe we've had him on before.
Not in this outfit, though. Looks like a fat, skinny kid.
You going two for two here? Scott Taylor takes out Tatanka right after the Kid.
Anything's possible in the World Wrestling Federation, Raj. I do like those periwinkle blue tights of Scott Taylor, though.
We first saw Scott Taylor back on February 22nd.
There you go. So there we are. That is like Josh Capron hair, Scott. Right
there. Oh, yeah, definitely. Oh, there's no doubt. Yeah, definitely.
I mean, he can't be more than like 14 here.
Willie, that mullet's like perfectly combed. It's not just
yeah, it is.
He actually has it like formed.
I think he's got the guns beat with that mullet.
I don't know. I think we got to vote for that one. I mean, it's perfectly like put together. Yeah. It's even when it moves, it goes right back into place.
It is a hell of a mullet.
It's beautiful.
It's very
selling too. I love that.
Like we stepped right out of the AV club room at the local high school, right into the ring.
We got the angry Mr. Bean ref out there too. A lot going on in this episode.
Oh yeah,
Mr. Bean Gottfried.
Mr. Bean Gottfried.
Yes,
very angry. Taylor, little energy in that.
The little things I little that I liked after the 1-2-3 Kid or the Lightning Kid match, whatever. It was when Razor went outside of the ring, was looking for some help from Savage, like looking for some sympathy. Savage wasn't giving it to him, so he just stopped in the middle of his statement and just moved over to Bobby, and Bobby just gave him all the love. I don't know what happened. I think it was a fast count. What was where's the referee?
I mean, I'm wondering
for Scott Taylor to make his move here.
I wonder if Savage was like all of a sudden back on the juice because he wore those long sleeve shirts all the time and kind of hit his arms a bit. And now he's just got the arms showing and he's just jacked.
So there, he's getting into the Hall of Fame, huh?
Yes. Yeah. Randy Savage tonight being revealed.
Maybe Scott Taylor too. Who knows?
And Hogan's in the mullet Hall of Fame. Hogan's going to induct Savage.
Yes. Yep. And
stealing the glory right till the bitter fucking end.
One last time.
That's a great point.
Guys should read the cowboy goes to class on the mega powers and that whole debacle.
That Hall of Fame speech is gonna be like Dr. G on the extra point, or everything goes Giants, everything's gonna go Hogan during that speech.
Yes. When was the last time we saw Tatanka? It's been a while for him too.
Been a while.
I also feel like they are kind of juicing the Raws up a bit. Like the winter got a little. I think maybe since we're getting close to pay per view time, they're going to start snazzing these Raws up again.
Well, we'll see. I mean, this is probably May sweep, so I'm guessing is why they had this one kind of huge. We'll
being optimistic.
Well, Taylor is getting a little bit of offense in.
Is he related to there's the end of that?
Is he related to Lawrence Taylor? Is that what you're gonna ask?
I was gonna say Terry. Oh.
No, he's not.
Some obviously scripted lines from Vince saying we should just call him the 1-2-3 kid after a move like that, and Heenan's like, "Don't call him the 1-2-3 kid. All these people will get right behind that. You don't want that."
There you go. Phenomenon was born. I remember hating that fucking name when I first said it. I was like, oh, that is the stupidest name. They can't call him that.
Yeah.
And there's the, what was it is when he's a baby face? The papoose.
Papoose to go.
The papoose to go.
Vlad in the crowd. There he is.
Ooh, what shirt's he got on?
He's like an old WrestleMania
very flashy
one.
Flashy. Yeah, maybe.
Tatanka picking up a big win, remains undefeated.
Tatanka.
There's a guy confusing the Tatanka chop with the Nazi salute.
I know, right? The hell. That Faith No More guy out there too?
Yeah, I think it was him. I
that is
for
Faith
a
No
half
More
second
guy.
There.
Or maybe not though. He doesn't have sunglasses on. Usually that guy had sunglasses on.
Just some homeless guy in the crowd.
Our first King of the Ring. We haven't had one of these yet, right? King of the Ring reports.
I think this is our second.
Did
I think
we
it's
have
the
one
second
last week?
King of the Ring. I thought we did. Yeah, because I think Hogan Yoko has been announced.
I
think they did
Steve,
one.
Steve, do you remember?
You remember
yeah,
there was one?
They had announced a number of like the qualifying.
Oh, that's
matches.
Right. Yeah. Okay, good call.
The hell is Mean Gene having his tie? School bus? He's wearing that before.
Yeah, it looks like a tow truck and a school bus. And I was just thinking that I really hope that he received that from like one of the Special Olympics kids that they were referring to, because there's no other excuse for that.
Jim Duggan gave it to him.
Yes.
Here's my bus, Gene. Sapphire's on it. Oh.
And we're not still looking for her. There we go. There's
Hogan with his retainer in his mouth.
And he looks so like weird there. Yeah,
that does not look like Hulk. It looks like a Hulk Hogan impersonator there.
Yeah, that's a weird picture.
That's what I'm saying.
Gonna take out Yokozuna at the pay-per-view.
I'm going to program into my TI-82.
Hey, Scott Taylor, come over here. Can you help me with the microfiche?
Oh, God.
Oh, boy. Big title match, Rod. You excited for that, King of the Ring? Maybe it'll be a big return to the classroom in the next 3 months.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I mean, they already kind of fought with the yellow belly thing.
Yeah,
I can't imagine
a real match,
Hogan.
Yeah.
I can't imagine Hogan loses that match.
We'll see. Look at this. We get the whole first round pretty much almost set up in between our last two Raws. Mm-hmm. One more qualifier, Shawn and Crush.
There we go. The teal belt for Sean in that picture.
So the matches there are
announced. Good matches in the first round there, huh?
Yeah, Brett and Razor, Duggan and Bigelow, and what was the last one down there? Tatanka Luger.
Tatanka Luger. Look at this. Kamala, Mr. Hughes. I think the Cowboys should go to summer school for that match. Cowboy goes to detention. You got to watch Kamala and Mr. Hughes.
I kind of like both those guys, Scott.
Well, you'd be pleasantly surprised then, Raj, if Wrestling Challenge was available.
So we haven't had any qualifiers on Raw then. They were all on Superstars and Challenge.
Yeah, wasn't Luger?
Nope.
No, and Bam Bam Bigelow was too.
Bigelow was when last week? Oh, was that Typhoon? Was that one?
Yeah, that was against the Typhoon.
Yeah. Luger wasn't though, was he?
Thought it was.
No, that was Superstars. I think him and Backlund. And Brett got an automatic bid, so he didn't have to qualify.
Oh yeah, Bigelow pinned Typhoon. So that was our one. I think that's just our one qualifier. Yeah. Okay.
I don't waste any time pumping out those qualifiers.
Meet Gene with a little sexual innuendo.
Oh, what a shock!
With Heenan.
Well, there's your reason right there.
Kamala or the Rosati?
The Rosati. Or Kamala, the joke works either way, right?
Mean Gene said he was going to have Sensational Sherry on one of Heenan's old flames.
Oh, Sherry, huh? I thought she was gone by now.
Look at this massive humanity match. Wow.
It wasn't that long ago that they had that, her and Luna Vachon had that fight on here.
Yeah,
they,
I thought she left right after that, but maybe not.
Ripping each other's clothes off.
They were.
It's a pretty cool match, too, buried in this
stack. Colonel Sanders on hand.
I know. Huh?
Oh, look at that guy.
This is Kamala and Hughes.
No, Kamala and Yokozuna.
Yokozuna.
Sorry, Kamala. That's a good match, though.
By the follow.
That would be the main event on a lot of these.
Yeah, it would. You're right. And this had to be a sweeps episode. That's the only thing I think of that they would have jacked this up so much.
Maybe they got the hate mail from all the Friar Ferguson stuff.
Yeah, we did hit a little lull there for a while. The last two weren't too bad, the Doug and Sean ones. They at least had some energy to them.
Well, Duggan, you could argue that Duggan just saved Raw, just brought it back from the ashes. And... No?
Nobody wants to give him credit for anything. I predict Bam Bam wins that tournament match. That's my prediction.
So based on the weights they're listing them at, there's 900 pounds of flesh in the ring.
Yeah.
So do we have a couple more before King of the Ring? Because I like to set it up where... No, we're going to have King of the Ring split. June. So you're going to have to watch it before the next one, Raj.
I said June 13th.
No, it's June 13th.
All right, yeah, okay, we're good. Sorry. So taping, Roger, you'll have to watch King of the Ring. So
yeah,
because we'll
usually they'll kind of, you'll know it's coming.
Yeah. It's, we got two more and then that. So in our next episode, we'll have to get you to levy your predictions heading in.
We're already picking Hogan in the main event.
All right.
Take that to the bank.
Okay. Yoko with a very lengthy entrance here.
Uh-huh. Oh, I haven't seen any sports jerseys, but somebody's got a white 83 on. I wonder if it's Andre Reed, maybe? Otherwise, I haven't seen
New York Islanders earlier.
Yeah, that guy's been pretty prominent, the one in the aisle.
Yeah, I just saw a guy with an Oakland A's hat.
Bash Brothers? Is that too late for the Bash Brothers 93?
And a needle sticking out of his ass?
Seiko went to the Rangers in like 90, I think, right? No, maybe, no, not 90.
No, they were still thinking.
No, it's like 92, I think.
Yeah, because weren't they in the 92 ALCS? Wasn't that them? They lost to the Blue Jays?
Yes, but I think I have a feeling that Canseco might have been gone by then. I think maybe that season.
Because then the next year was the White Sox, right? And Blue Jays, White Sox this year here in 93.
Yes, yes. Yep. First of Frank Thomas's monster years.
Went to a game when I was a kid, early Bash Brothers, at the, I think it was still the old Comiskey Park, and the Canseco hit a roof shot, which was pretty much never seen at that point.
Mm. Canseco was traded mid-92.
Okay.
So he was in Oakland for 97 games.
Who did Texas give?
Let me see here.
Rick Honeycutt?
No, he was in the Yankee trade for Henderson.
Oh, wow.
1992, Jeff Russell, Ruben Sierra, Bobby Witt, and Cash. So it was a waiver deal. It was August 31st, 92.
Okay.
So wait.
Wow, was that late?
I thought the A's were in the ALCS here. Maybe not.
They were. No, they were. They were. He just wasn't in it.
Yeah, so what the fuck? Was the year... They gave up on him. They traded him at the waiver deadline, and they were going to the playoffs?
Yeah, that's weird. Because Eckersley won the Cy Young that year. That's when he had that crazy year. He had like 50-something saves. His ERA was like 1.2-something.
He was batting 244, 26 home runs, 87 RBI. I mean, he was an all-star. Like, it's not like he was having a bad year.
Wow. Wow, he's 244.
Ruben Sierra was a pretty good player.
Yeah, he wasn't bad.
No, I know, but still, I mean, it seems kind of weird they broke up their nucleus like right
before the
playoffs.
You have to assume the fan base was not happy with that trade.
Yeah.
Jeff Russell throws 100 miles an hour.
I mean, Jeff Russell was yeah, well, Jeff Russell was the Rangers closer, I think, at that point. We're just killing time till these chops stop ending. We get a little not that anything's going to pick up speed-wise in this match.
Yeah, they won the division that year. They went to the ALCS and lost to Toronto in six.
Mm-hmm.
No, Russell actually started game one of the ALCS. So maybe
started?
He needed pitching. Oh, I'm sorry. He got the win.
And that would be, that year would be Barry Bonds' last game as a Pirate.
I'll check the box score, give you the stats.
This ref is...
Dave Stewart started. I'm sorry. Russell came in and got the win.
This ref is sporting a nice little starter mullet here.
Is that Kyoto?
Yep.
It'll look cool.
Kamala was doing some good work there for a while, but now it seems like, oh, there it is more.
Don't know what that was, but look at Kamala, huh?
Had a little sumo off at the beginning, and Kamala was reeling, had him reeling.
I did like Kamala's reaction to like all of Yokozuna's pre-match stuff. Just kind of quizzically wondering what this man was doing.
So Sierra had a pretty soft finish with Oakland. Canseco did better with Texas.
Was that just the worst clothesline of all time?
Yeah, right?
He was in Oakland for a couple years, though, JR. Was it 94 when he went to the Yankees?
Ruben?
Yeah. Because he was there till what, mid-96? And that was
he got traded in 95.
Okay. Because mid-96 was the... they traded him for Big Daddy.
Yeah. Sierra
that match ended much quicker than I thought it did.
Sierra played till 06. He was with the Yankees in 03, 04, 05, and then finished with the
Twins. That's right, he was, wasn't he?
He played a lot of games in 04. Oh, 107 games in 2004.
Really?
Yeah, 61 the next year, and then 14 in Minnesota.
DH, I guess, right? Couldn't see him playing anything. First base, maybe?
Yeah, DH.
Yeah, I don't think so.
338 plate appearances, about a 244. 17 home runs. Okay. Yokozuna wins, squashes Kamala.
I feel like Aaron George would want me to say that when Yokozuna was sitting on Kamala after the move and his pecs were pushed together, it made it look like he had a third nipple.
Okay.
Yes, that is very Aaron George-ish.
A new ad here for All American Wrestling. I think they just kind of overhauled this show a bit, too, with them going on the road, Bobby and Gene.
No one rocked satin jackets better than the Brain. No doubt about it.
Is that Vegas?
No.
Caesar's Palace. Happy birthday, Aaron George, by the way. A belated happy birthday.
Yes.
All right, we'll see him in a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm.
Indeed.
Mark Poirier as well. I'm sure he's got his Hansen shirt on, ready to go. Mm-hmm. Or his, I know it was in a vomit-induced haze. What was the shirt he had on? But I thought it was like the Midnight Express or something. Remember, it was a Prince Devitt? I think he had a Prince Devitt shirt, and I thought it was like...
No idea. I'm sorry I was there, and I don't know.
Here we go, our main event for the Intercontinental Championship.
Our first title match in how long?
Oh, we just had the Dugan one, right?
Oh,
right. That was last episode.
But that's quite forgettable, so.
Okay.
Last time I was on, we had the tag title match, too, I think.
Right, was that... Money Inc. and
Money Inc. and the Beverleys, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Is that title or non-title, that match?
Oh, I don't remember.
That was non-title.
I just assumed it was title.
No, it was non-title.
I think it was non.
This one's for the title, though.
Yes.
Yes.
Straps is on the line.
So he hasn't he hasn't been around in a while, and he just steps right into the title shot, huh?
Mm-hmm. Lay the challenge. Sean gave an open challenge, and he answered it.
So Marty was
these
walking
guys
around
have history.
Marty was walking around the locker room. Who do you think loaned him that vest? It looks like a Bigelow vest right there.
I'd say Rad Radford if he's there.
Yes, L.A.
L.A. Gore.
So that was
Jannetty's pants win most 90s, right?
They're pretty awesome.
That's
I love
nice,
those pants.
Isn't it? I would wear those.
Those are awesome tights. Yeah. His figure from this set would have those tights as well. And I think Sean had similar ones to these. So it's probably around when they designed them. That match was non-title, Jordan.
Okay. I just always assume when the champs win that it was for the title.
Mm.
No, definitely we hadn't had title matches before that Lumberjack match, and now here we are, back to back weeks.
This match starting off with the same general pace and flow of the Yoko and Kamala match.
Very similar.
So much.
Jannetty with his feathered hair, Sean and his teased mullet.
Wow, Willie, we got some serious mullet votes going on here.
Roger, I want you to watch this match closely because we'll talk about it a little bit after its status.
I haven't seen this in a very long time, so I'm actually kind of excited to look at it a little closer.
I watched their Rumble match not too long ago from same year.
That one's gotten better the more I've seen it. Like, I remember really being disappointed, but I think it's because at the time I was upset, like, Marty didn't win or whatever. But watching it back, and Roger, I think you gave it a pretty good grade, right?
Heenan's just been great tonight, by the way. He's been really good. He's shouting instructions to Sean right now. Sean, remember, he has to beat you. You don't have to beat him.
Very true. Sean on the floor. Jannetty, crowd hot. Ready to go.
Crowd's going ape.
Yeah, they're moving around like crazy. Without the volume on, I can still see that they're going nuts.
And one guy was doing the Gangnam Style dance in the back.
He was dressed like an extra from the Cosby Show.
No, he wasn't passed out though.
Oh,
I bumped that one right up in the air for you. Ducked out of the super kick.
This arm drag. It was a match I was watching. It was on Starrcade 93. I can't remember what the hell it was now. I was trying to think. Or maybe it was Battle Bowl. It was one of the Cole twins. He literally, the whole match, only did like arm drags. Like, he must have just been taught that one move, and that's all he did. Like, literally. It was the one where he teamed with Sting, and he just did. Or no, he was against Sting. I forgot what the match was. And Battle Bowl 93. And he literally just kept doing arm drags the whole match. It was awful. With a head scissor on.
They've been teasing, you know, Sean Perfect with the last couple of weeks with the fighting and the Perfect getting involved in the Lumberjack match after that was over.
That's why this was a nice kind of surprise. You know, you probably didn't, no one expected Sean to be mixed up with anyone else. Sean whipped up and over to the floor. Jannetty hot. I mean, Sean hasn't gotten any offense in.
No.
And that makes sense because Sean's not expecting him to be there and doesn't have time to prepare. Mm-hmm.
And all Marty has wanted is a shot at Sean as he lurked backstage in his vest.
And some of that sweet locker room crack that he's been missing.
Rocking the island.
And look at Sean's trying to leave, but Mr. Perfect shows up and stops him with his open windbreaker and jeans, mom jeans.
That's right. Perfect's pretty 90s right there, too. It almost looks like he's got like a bathrobe on tucked into the jeans, doesn't it?
Tucked into the jeans.
He just pointed at the logo. It's like, yeah, this is Royal Caribbean right here.
I think it says Mr. Perfect.
I think he's America. Got him on the back, too, because he turned slightly, and it looked like a big blue picture or something.
Like an airbrush or something.
Always wanted the Ultimate Warrior windbreaker.
Yes.
The satin windbreaker.
So back from break, and Sean catches Jannetty with a hot shot. So finally slowing this guy down. Yeah, see, that's the vintage windbreaker is the Warrior. Oh, I thought I had him on the back. It's just a little blue diamond on the back. It's a little disappointing. So now I do wonder what the name on the front was.
Let's go with Royal Caribbean. Fantastic.
It is their colors.
It would have been a great bit of continuity if it said Marty Jannetty. And we saw that they traded shirts so Marty could have that vest to sneak into the ring.
Yes.
You think the people who were at Raw like a month ago and didn't come to this one were really pissed off?
Yes.
Heenan, Colin Perfect, the jackass of the century. That got censored on the old closed captioning.
Oh, wow.
Still a lot of bad blood there. Sean, still working over Marty here.
Hey, he weathered the storm of the early flurry of moves by Marty.
Do you guys remember, was there a lot of hype around Sean still at this point as far as like being, because we haven't seen a lot of great Shawn Michaels matches. So I'm trying to think if there was still a lot of hype or if people were just kind of wait and see. I feel like there was still hype whenever he wrestled that he could put on a really good match.
I wasn't really behind the scenes back in 93, like, you know, reading dirt sheets or anything like
that.
I'm
even in like PWI. Really, I mean, even like PWI and stuff like that, or your friends. It does say Mr. Perfect on it.
Not I think I was the only one watching wrestling that I knew of at this point. It was me and Scott Taylor in the AV room.
How about you, Jordan? Do you remember saying anything about it?
I'm with Steve. I was in eighth grade, so not a lot of my friends were watching too much. I dug Sean a lot. But I'm trying to think of what PWI... I don't really remember anything that comes to mind, PWI-wise or magazine-wise, though.
Mm. I think there's a lot of hype, because as we'll see, a couple of the matches he has coming up are pretty hyped. Mm-hmm. I just know he hasn't really had that classic yet. You know, well, he had the match with Brett at Survivor Series, but...
I think in a lot of ways that one's forgotten about, though.
Yeah. Oh, it definitely is. It was really good, though. Even his Bulldog match on Saturday's Main Event was very good, too.
I remember where he won the title?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For me at the time, I remember this was when I started to get more interested in him around this time, and maybe it was because he was not around for a while on Raw and then popping up every week. If I remember correctly, too, there's some bigger stuff coming up ahead in the next few weeks, too, mm-hmm. with him.
Oh, definitely. Really nice power slam from Marty for two. Were you saying something there, Roger, a minute ago?
Nope. No. Did you hear me?
Yeah, I heard you.
Okay.
Disappointed in your answer, but yeah, I heard you.
I always loved Shawn Michaels.
There's a girl in the front row that looks like she has a jersey. No, it's just a sweatshirt or something. I thought maybe it was a hockey jersey.
I still have the Sexy Boy song in my iPad and iPod, and I play it in the car sometimes when I'm by myself.
A lot of crack action there, Sean.
All right, little plumber's party.
Wow, big time, man.
Ooh, nice super kick before it means anything.
Oof. It's like a certain football play I saw a picture of this weekend.
Sean, bad mouth and Perfect. Perfect always had a very tight ponytail. It's very gnarled
up. I think we need to bring this look back. The windbreaker.
You start.
Perfect throws his towel at Sean. Marty rolls him up. And we have a brand new Intercontinental Champion.
Oh, man, I was like 2 seconds behind.
Sorry. That's it, though.
Told you. 281, huh?
Yeah, big episode.
Nice. A lot of upsets on this episode.
Mm-hmm. Memorable one. So now this match, there's a lot of confusion at the time between what won, like, match of the year, because they have another match later on in the year. There was always confusion between the two dates, which one actually got match of the year in 1993, if it's this one or the rematch. But so what did you guys think? Would you put this above our current all-time match for Raw, which was Perfect and Flair?
I'm still going to go with Perfect and Flair.
I'm going to also, I don't even think it was that close, to be honest. I mean, it was a good moment. It was a good match, but it was.
Yeah, I thought the match was longer. Perfect and Flair still.
I thought this match was longer, too.
As did I.
Yes, it was 10
according to Graham, it's 10:57.
Yep.
See, I thought this match was longer.
And I can't confirm
that.
I mean,
that was good. It wasn't bad or anything, but with all the hype, I was expecting a little bit more.
So PWI, the one that's called out now as having been their match of the year, is the one we'll see in a little bit here on July 19th. I know this one always kind of got... I think this one always got the credits, even though that one is the one that won, if I remember correctly.
Hmm. So this was not the match of the year.
No. But still very good and a very cool moment. I think everyone always thought it was. And then I feel like when the Raw DVD set came out a few years ago, they said this was the match of the year, and that kind of furthered the confusion. But I am fairly confident that it was not this one.
According to Wiki and PWI Match of the Year, it was the one in July.
Yeah, I was going to look up the Observer Match of the Year, but I don't think it would have been either of these for them. So anyway, that's that. All right, Scott, what do we got for the awards here?
Okay, most 90s, Marty's Tights.
That's where my vote goes.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think it's a good one.
Sure.
Okay.
I can't confirm that Mr. Perfect Block Letters were what was on the front of the windbreaker.
Yes.
Best match, obviously. Well, for this night was best match.
Yes.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Best mullet. Oh, I got to go with Scott Taylor's.
Yeah.
I mean, it didn't move. It was perfectly, even when he was moving around, it stayed where it was. That's my pick. Raj?
I like the long blonde one for the guy that didn't even wrestle.
Oh, the guy in the crowd with the big glasses and the hat? That guy?
No, the Glenn tag, Rich, the guy who was
Tony,
the tag team match that didn't wrestle.
His name was Tony Vadja.
Vadja?
Tony Vadja.
All right, that wins.
V-A-D-J-A. Vadja.
That's got to go in
wins.
There.
Tony Vadja. That's the worst last name.
Tony Vadja just has to go in. Into the annals of history.
They put me with fucking Badger again.
I wonder why I didn't tag him in at all.
All right,
we going with Tony Badger then?
Yeah,
just to have Scott that Taylor name in the book. Him again.
I'm actually going to write like that. Tony Badge. All right, and grades. Raj.
9. Really good. Oh, best. Yes. I think that's the best Raw that we've seen because of the X-Pac thing as well. 1, 2, 3, kid.
I feel we do halves for this, right?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Willie?
8.5. I also thought the commentary was, from my end listening to it, was the best it's been in a while, too. And Heenan really getting involved into a lot of the matches, into the storyline of the matches, instead of the just banter about whatever was going on in the world at the time. It was much more on point with the storylines and the matches.
But they also didn't show Heenan flipping through the channels.
Yes.
Which they show almost every episode, so it was good.
Okay. All right. JD?
Well, I didn't catch the first match, but everything I saw I liked. I'll go with Raj. I'll go with a 9-2.
Okay. JR?
I'll go 8.5. I liked the two big surprises, a lot of good moments, very memorable. I'd say arguably the first truly memorable episode. I know Perfect Flair was the first memorable match, but to me this was the first like iconic episode of Raw that when you go through and you do the DVD compilations and you ask people, this is the one that really sticks out in a lot of people's minds with the kid winning and Jannetty coming back and winning. It's a very memorable episode.
I'm going to go with a 9 as well. So that had about 8.5 total average. So there you go. Probably the best Raw overall so far.
Probably a 9 8. Average, right? We had 3 9s,
yeah,
and 2.5s.
3 9s, 2 8.5s. Yeah, come out to 8 point. Yep.
We'll give it a 9. We round up around here. So.
We round up. So that's a 9.
All right. Why don't we take a break? We'll come back and see if the next episode can live up to this one.
Because.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation. PlaceToBeNation.com, The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials run and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on PlaceToBeNation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Greetings, friends. Ben Morse from Place to Be Nation's Main Event here. Tired of other podcasts constantly stuck in the past? Every other week, we give you a roundtable discussion of what's happening in wrestling today. Place to Be Nation's Main Event. We're holding everybody else down.
Looking for something different in your pro wrestling podcasts? Look no further than the Pro Wrestling Super Show. Join me, Stephen Graham, every week as I'm joined by a rotating door of guests as we discuss a single topic each show, ranging from ECW pay-per-view reviews, wrestler snapshots, top six lists, and anything else you can think of. That's the Pro Wrestling Super Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrible. The Titans of Wrestling... Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans of Wrestling are...
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for the show. I break down matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Bob. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling.
You know you want to hear it.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week, join Marcus Vandenberg and myself for the world's most dangerous sports show and the program that's changing the game one show at a time, the Kings of Sport Podcast. Available exclusively on PlaceToBeNation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Hey, sports fans, this is Dr. G for Extra Point, Place to Be Nation's traditional sports talk podcast. Every episode, Scott Criscolo and I talk everything from the big four leagues to all the hot sports news with exclusive guests and analysts. Email us your comments and questions at extrapoint@placetobenation.com. That's the Extra Point exclusively on placetobenation.com.
Hey, sports fans, Cowboy here. Make sure you make your weekly stop by the Sports Lounge here on placetobenation.com, where the boys and I tackle all the hot topics in the world of sports. We go behind the numbers and provide in-depth expert analysis on Major League Baseball, MMA, NFL, and more. The seats fill up quick, so grab your favorite cigar, kick back, and join us in the Sports Lounge, only on PlaceToBeNation.com.
In Rhode Island, and looking for great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers. In a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Boneheads also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So, be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast, exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is Jeff Peck, and you can check out my wrestling podcast, The Still Real to Us Show, every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com. It is a wrestling podcast from a fan's perspective, and we're not doing it in our mom's basement. So check it out every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Also, be sure to check out our friends at thehistoryofwwe.com, prowrestlingonly.com, Scott Keith blog at rspwfaq.net, and piledriverwrestling.net.
Hey, this is Dr. Tom Pritchard, and you're listening to the Place to Be podcast on the Place to Be Nation.
All right, Nation, we're back. We're in the middle of our Raw live watch, looking at May 17th and May 24th episodes of Raw. PlaceToBeNation.com's got a lot of stuff going on as well. Always does and always will be. Tough enough, Scott and Chad, Jordan and Steve and Roger, has been added to WWE Network. And a while back, I looked at the Tough Enough 1 casting special. We went ahead and reran that today in honor of Tough Enough going up on the network. So if you want to relive that gem, you can join me there. Extra Point, talk Giants, and the other stuff going on in the NFL, as well as preview of the conference championship.
45 minutes of Perry Fuel, baby.
MLB Hall of Fame.
No, it wasn't.
You had TJ McClune. You had Joel Barnhart.
Joel Barnhart.
All-star cast. Of
yes,
the
it was a good show.
Yep. Check that out. This week, a 90s wrestling edition from Charles Williams was up January 11th to January 17th. A must-see must-read installment each week on PlayStation.com. We'll be up every Sunday. A lot of great info and facts and things you may not have known in the world of 90s wrestling. Our buddy Andrew Waltman took a look at Selma, an award season favorite movie. TJ and Todd previewed tonight's national championship game, which Ohio State is looking pretty good in tonight so far up on Oregon. Bauer Show wondered if Tom Brady's the greatest of all time, which no one else seems to care about besides them. Greatest song of the 90s tournament, guys. Round two wrapping up this past Saturday. We're going to have the polls open for another day or so. If you listen to this, you can get in and vote on Tuesday, and then round three starts next week, and it'll come fast and furious at you. We're into the bracket round of 128. So any favorites out there? Anyone with any predictions as we head to the 128? Jordan, what do you think?
I predicted before it all started that Smells Like Teen Spirit's going to win the whole thing.
All right. How about you, Willie?
Len Steal My Sunshine is going to take everyone's heart.
That's what the L stands for in L Kid.
Yes, Len. Yes.
Scott, you think, what do you think? Shoop Shoop Song from Cher, still going to take it?
No, I think I might like Hanson.
Okay, a little bop. What do you think, Raj?
The Warbeard.
It's a tough call. But I'm going to go with, given our... given what I've seen from the voting, I'm going to go with Enter Sandman. I don't think anyone's beating it.
Okay, that's a good choice. So be sure to get those votes in and keep your eyes open for round three coming next weekend. You also had a pair of Ken Shamrock podcasts up on the site. Scott and I talked to him about his old WWF days, talked about his website. And then Roger, you talked to him on the Sports Lounge. You want to give us a quick preview of what you talked about on there?
Yeah, absolutely. So Ken... the day before our interview, big announcement from Ken that he is coming out of not retirement, but coming off his break at 50. He's been out of combat sports for 4 years, and he's going to fight a bare knuckle boxing match in Great Britain.
All right, you guys talked all about that. So if you want to hear from Ken, check out both those episodes. They're both quick listens, so you can spend about an hour and hear both of them. Get your Ken Shamrock fill. Seinfeld rewatch series continued. We looked at the Cheever letters last week, as well as the Bubble Boy, Jordan. A couple big episodes. And tomorrow, we have another big one coming up as well. We have the opera. So loaded season four rolls on.
Yep, another big one coming after that as well.
Yes, season four has been a real fun one to relive. So yes. A lot of good episodes there. The Hard Traveling Fanboys did a countdown of the top ongoing series of 2014. New writer hit the site, Logan Sisko. What the World Was Reading, looking at WWF magazines and other magazines as well. He's going to do PWI and some other ones too. So this one, he broke down the June 95 issue of WWF Magazine. It's a fun read. Some good memories in there as well. He's put some screenshots of the magazine pages in. So if you're a magazine wrestling junkie, check out Logan's work there. Raj, you and Senior had on Rob Carpenter, former NFL player, wide receiver. Guys talked about the Jets QB situation, Jameis Winston, and previewed all of last weekend's games as well. Rob, hopefully we'll be back with you in the future too.
Yeah, he was fantastic, and you know, we all three of us picked the Cowboys.
Well, all three of you were wrong.
Was a bad prediction there, but Rob was great, and we really look forward to having him back on.
Very good. Also, the Vintage Vault Refresh series continued as well up through WrestleMania 6, went up last Thursday. You can relive the memories there. SummerSlam 90 coming this week. So info@placenation.com. If you have any questions for us, Twitter, place2bnation, and facebook.com/placetobenation as well. Get in on the fun. placenation.com. All right, you guys ready to hit up the May 24th episode of Raw?
Yes.
All right, let's count it in. 3, 2, go. Once again, hard into our opening animation. Now this episode was taped the previous week after the exciting episode that we just talked about. Mm-hmm. We'll see if they continue having the hot crowds for this one.
Now, I do have a major announcement to make regarding one of our 90s tournament people that we've talked about at a previous show and you brought up again here now. Mm-hmm. The Share concert in Green Bay, Wisconsin has been canceled due to lack of ticket sales.
Oh.
Oh, bummer.
So I don't know what I'm going to do.
It's a bunch of gypsies, tramps, and thieves up there.
Yeah, seriously.
I thought you were going to announce that you had a bare knuckles boxing match too, Steve.
Oh my God. With Cher.
Yeah.
So as you can see, Macho Man was industrious enough to actually change, whereas Bobby and Vince are like, I don't give a fuck that this show was taped.
May Savage was cold. May's arms go a little cold or something.
Yes. Because the 4 inches of ruffles is going to really...
You think he held up the whole taping waiting for him to change? Like, all right, we're ready. Oh, hold on, Savage is still getting dressed.
It almost looks like Vince doesn't fit into that tuxedo right either.
No,
looks like
all.
He's wearing his dad's or something, like a kid wearing his dad's suit.
He doesn't always wear a tux for these, does he? Was it just one tape? Does he?
Quite a lot, yeah.
I guess so.
Yes. So far, for what we've seen, yes.
Now, Roger, the guy in between Heenan and Vince with the long hair who's been waving
that's a
camera.
Guy?
That's the guy. Yeah, I think it's a guy. That's who I was referring to earlier when you said the blonde mullet. I thought you meant
him. Oh, that's a good one, too. That's another Joe Dirt.
Ugh, that Taker shirt's dreadful.
Yes! Doink on the scene.
Wow.
Evil Doink.
You know what I mean?
Got, look at that green wig. Wow, that's like a scringy mess right there. Not the old school, cool, fluffy fro. Where'd he go?
Hiding under the ring.
It was actually pretty cool. As he went under the ring, you could see there was another set of ring ropes down there.
Never know. Yep. Tragedy could strike.
Mm-hmm. Yokozuna could shatter them at any time.
Lord Alfred just adds a flower to his suit from what he wore last week.
He's out there with a doink. And some guys selling watches or so. Oh, food.
Some pretzels?
The kid's excited.
Yeah.
Oh, smells like... Hi, little kid. Little Steve Willie.
Well, yeah, that was me. Lord Alfred outside with a second doink. Whoop, but there's the first doink.
Multiple doinks. Not uncommon.
Is there a little kid in pajamas in the first row? In footy pajamas?
Green ones?
Yes.
Well, it was pretty late.
Now, they did say to expect a possible debut coming up.
Really?
Yes, that Johnny Polo, Bobby Heenan's good friend.
Oh.
Something.
Well, here we are with a qualifying match.
The last one. So now this was, these guys had already gone to two qualifying matches, and they had a draw both times on the weekend syndicated show. So this is the third go-around here to fill this last slot.
Who won the Hughes-Kamala qualifier?
Mr. Hughes won that one. And Crush and Shawn Michaels went to a double countout, so they were both eliminated. So the winner of this one will get Hughes at King of the Ring. It's our final slot to be determined. Doink, aggressive.
Either way, a good match.
Mm-hmm.
Either one of these guys against Hughes.
I want you to watch this one closely as well, Raj, because this is, I think, a sleeper classic for... I'm curious the thoughts of this versus Sean and Marty, because I remember this one being pretty good.
What's interesting is the way
Doink's working that towel. I mean, it's, yeah. It's already nine or so for me.
If you take the diamond off of Mr. Perfect's windbreaker, it fits perfectly on the back of his tights there. It's like a puzzle piece.
Very geometrically inclined.
Yeah. Whoa, big... towel assisted clothesline there.
There we go. That's like old territory school right there.
Mm-hmm. Ohio State's laying the wood, by the way.
What's the score?
21-7 now.
Ugh.
Wow.
Five minutes left in the half.
Well, Jordan.
Maybe Mariota will fall to 6.
Yes.
Maybe you don't want him.
Can't win the big one. Choke artist. Actually, this guy might have, the quarterback might have been down before he got in, so we'll see. Perfect. The spinning toe holds. Don't see that too often. Working over Doink. Mm. I see a little bit of a pot belly going on here.
Yeah, definitely. Matt Bourne has been laying off the calisthenics.
Probably thought he could hide it in those spandex, but it's quite revealing.
Yes.
What a great character.
Yeah, I mean, Doink's absolutely. Not supposed to be like, you know, like an Adonis, I think. I think the gut works.
Yeah.
He is starting to look like Adrian Adonis, though.
Yeah. It's amazing how Doink looks more masculine with less makeup.
Yeah.
He
Yeah, such a great character. Even at the time, I remember a lot of people making fun of, like, oh, wrestling clown, circus, dude. But it was really, really good when he was the evil clown. Like, it was just, it worked so well.
Yeah.
Great selling, too, of the leg, stumbling around while he's trying to mount a comeback.
Did he come before or after Shakes the Clown?
The In Living Color character?
That's Homie the Clown.
That's Homie the Clown.
Well, that's Homie the Clown.
Isn't Shakes the one from, what's the one from The Simpsons? Am I right?
Krusty?
Oh, Krusty.
Shakes the Clown.
I just wonder who the hell Shakes was.
So Shakes the Clown, Shakes the Clown is a movie with Bobcat Goldthwait in 1992.
Oh, great. That was a great, similar character. That's what I.
All right, here's who was in that movie, by the way. Julie Brown, Blake Clark, Paul Dooley, Kathy Griffin, Florence Henderson, Tom Kenny, Adam Sandler, Scott Harriet, LaWanda Page, Jack Gallagher, and a cameo by Robin Williams as Mime Jerry.
Hmm.
The movie's a dark comedy about a birthday party clown in the grips of depression and alcoholism who's framed for murder.
Oh, lovely.
I have to live watch that.
Yeah.
Not a financial success.
Come on. You can see where I drew the corollary.
So should we rank them? Doink, Shakes, Homie, and Krusty?
And can we throw in Bozo and Eric the Clown from Seinfeld?
Eric from Seinfeld, yeah.
Krusty, Shakes, they're all the same.
They're all the same. The Krusty Shakes. That's like a Steph infection.
So Doink's taking control here.
Yeah.
It seemed like Doink did come after Shakes, Roger, and I think after Krusty as well. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, Krusty was around for a couple years.
Do you think Doink may have been based on Shakes, on the success of Shakes? We need our own renegade.
Yes, we need
boozing, suicidal clown.
Murdering clown, yes.
Shakes the Clown.
We might be, I don't know, so far we already, the last episode, by this point, we already had like 11 mullets to choose from. Tonight yeah. we only have Kyoto's baby mullet. Fan.
Yeah. Oh, the one Steve pointed out, too.
Yeah.
Oh, the guy in the crown, yeah. Look at Fink. He will never win best mullet, poor guy. Well, look at that guy. Looks like Dave Mustaine in the crowd there on the left. Let's see if they show that again. Literally looked exactly like him, which means he had a pretty good mullet as well.
Yumbo.
See if they show that shot again.
The Yumbo is the nastiest looking piece of food I've
ever seen. I don't
think
I could ever stomach you.
See that guy on the left there?
The hot ham and cheese?
Yeah. Yeah.
It looks awful.
He's holding a hot ham and cheese.
It looks
that's
awful.
Is that what you're talking about? The Yumbo?
Yeah, Yumbo.
Yeah.
It looks
I
awful.
Just never understood how
it does.
Insane
I agree. I agree. It doesn't make any sense.
Throw a piece of lunch meat on a bun
it looks
and charge
terrible.
$3 for it.
Yeah, it looks
but I could never understand. I thought that like their flame broiled burgers were like the greatest thing on the planet back then, and they were making money off a ham and cheese sandwich. It makes no sense. A little strange.
It's on the menu. I was just there yesterday.
It's so weird.
Looks gross. Just give me an Italian chicken and leave that.
All right, Chad Campbell's not here today.
What are they trying to do?
So I love it. A lot of math stuff. Doink, like Perfect's trying to fight out of it, and Doink wrenches him back down with an armbar. This is really good so far.
I'm calling out actual Chad Campbell to watch this match and the Sean Marty, because I want to hear his breakdown of both of these matches, see which one he prefers.
I'm telling you, I prefer this one so far.
I think I am, too.
Perfect stomping on the knees there.
Coming back, working the leg, which remember Doink's been selling the whole time.
Now, Steve, are they explaining why he's working the leg? Because he doesn't do like a leg submission hold.
I think he just digged it up early.
Yeah.
No, they're just saying Savage was saying to snap into it.
Nice hair.
Yeah, they.
It's not an Indian deathlock, is it? Is that what that is?
Yeah.
No, you're losing me with that stuff.
No, you get right back with the Indian deathlock. I don't know what this is. This is like it's almost like a sitting up figure four.
Yeah, figure four. Yeah, it's weird.
Well, announcers, it was either Vince or Heenan, said Indian deathlock. Savage had no different version, but it came up on the closed captioning as the perversion.
So we'll call it the perverted Indian deathlock.
The perverted, the Yumbo, we'll call it.
Yumbo.
We'll call it the missionary Indian deathlock.
Yes.
with a special edition of a clown fetish thrown in.
Yes. Executed perfectly. The Yumbo.
What a... This has been expertly booked.
Very good.
Definitely put together. Very unique for the WWF at that time. That's why I sometimes think it's unfair to, you know, obviously for these next couple of years, Doink would get ripped, or the character of Doink would get ripped. But it's not like he was, you know, PM News or one of those guys who had like no moves. I mean, Doink was, I mean, you know, Matt Bourne was a good wrestler. And
that
I don't
was
think
awesome
gets...
right there, by the way. Perfect head just resting against the post, and Doink walks by and slaps him in the face and keeps going with this like grumbled look on his face. Sorry.
Yes. But, you know, I think there needs to be at least a catalog of good Matt Bourne Doink matches. Obviously, once what's his face takes over, Phil Apollo or whatever, Ray Apollo, whatever his name is, you know, the work rate goes down. But and, I mean, obviously, they made fun of the character for a long time, but he really put on expert matches. Mm-hmm. I don't think he gets credit. I don't think he gets enough credit for it.
What's cool about this match is they just seem legitimately pissed with each other.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, and they had the build to it, because remember, they fought twice before, draw both times, trying to get in King. Like, there's a lot of stakes on the line for it, too. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. And also, Doink isn't like this prototypical, like, happy, happy pants clown. He's like, look at
that.
Paints all, the hair is all nuts, and the paint's all smudged. It's like, you know, it's like a clown, but not really a clown, you know?
Does it kind of sound like Shakes?
Yes. Yeah. More like what's his name from the Stephen King book?
Pennywise.
He's nice,
yeah.
It the clown.
It was Pennywise from It.
Pennywise, yeah.
It the clown.
Pennywise scared the shit out of me when I was a kid.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Look at this nice move coming up here. Doink with a hammerlock body slam. That was great when Doink had that other armbar on. He was just like wrenching it back and forth and making those faces.
Now Savage was really starting to put Doink over as saying that we have to take him more seriously because this is the third time he's taken it to Mr. Perfect. And then after when he did put the armbar on it, after throwing him to the post, he talked about that strategy. And this is the third segment of this match, by the way.
Yeah,
I honestly, seriously think this match could get legitimate best Raw match to this point for us. I really do.
Well, at the least, Perfect's going to have two of the top three. So
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He's our Raw MVP of the first half, I would say, so far. And even remember, his match with Martel wasn't bad either.
Mm.
He's played a big role in a lot of segments, too, with the car, and then last week, Austin showing the title. He's probably been one of the most active Raw guys. Big clothesline, sending Doink on his ass to the floor. Uh-oh, here comes Doink, too. He's got the more... well-known
he's got
Doink wig.
The fluffier wig, yes.
I can hear the commentary. There's another Sorry. Doink.
That's another Doink!
By God, as my witness!
There we go. Doink 1 going under the ring. I remember at the time this stuff kind of annoying me, the two Doinks, but looking back, it was really good stuff.
Mm.
And here comes the second one.
Maybe they should have the Usos dress up like Doink.
They already got the paint.
Yeah, they're halfway there.
But Perfect should be smart enough to look at him and go, wait a minute, his hair's too fluffy.
Well, I'm curious the paint, too. He has fresh paint on.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the...
Unless him and Alfred had a match out in the street during their interview. Come on, Kyoto, you're not that dumb.
Especially with the crowd chanting, that's a new Doink.
Yes.
So Doink comes right at Perfect. Perfect thought he had him in control, but fresh Doink.
And the fresh paint as well.
Come on, Kyoto.
Who's Kyoto?
The ref.
Okay.
If Gorilla was here, he'd be destroying the referee like he does in every match he ever did. This referee's out to lunch.
Tommy Heinsohn of WWF.
Yes.
Perfect. Grabs the perfect plex on Doink 2.
Oh.
And wins the match.
Doink, wow. Doink 1 did a lot better than Doink 2. Yeah.
15 minutes that match was, so yep. Second longest.
No, Heenan was maintaining the entire time that it was the same Doink and that he had resealable makeup on. So it comes off and then it puts it back on. And then as soon as Perfect just locks in the perfect plex before he even hits it, all of a sudden he goes, oh, that's a different Doink. Right when he's about to lose.
Here comes Crush to make the save. Still pissed off for Mania.
Yeah. He's dealt with multiple doinks.
Knows how to handle them.
That's right.
I'm surprised they never had the two doinks do a tag match.
I was just thinking the same thing.
I was thinking that myself when they were both in the ring. What a cool tag team they would have
been. That would have been a good team, I bet.
Yeah. Could have done the whole demolition thing.
Yeah, do the Killer Bees, but his heels, right. You know.
Crush. That was like the first real attack he's gotten in on them. Runs off the doinks. All right, guys, where do we rank this one versus Flair and Perfect?
Pretty close, let me tell you.
I'd put it third. I don't like the double doing thing at the end. I thought it ruined the whole match. To my untrained eye.
So unforgiving.
I think I like it better than Sean Marty. It's probably not better than Perfect Flair, though.
Hey, that's where I would put it. I would put it above the other match. And how long did you say it was, Scott? I'm sorry. I was 15. Trying to listen to that.
Yeah, he said it was a little over 15. Graham doesn't have an exact time, but he said over 15 minutes.
When I say ruin the whole match, I mean, I don't think it was a bad match. I think it was a good
match. I know what you mean. I think it did. I think it definitely detracted from the match they're having. I agree.
Normally, I would agree too, but I don't know, because it's the Doink story, and that's been the story for Doink all this time. Like it fit.
Yep. Yeah, it's not like it was random. Like it kind of fit the character.
I kind of want to watch the two draws now from the weekends.
I do think it's funny too that it backfired on Doink. You know,
right? Yeah, it's
Doink
like you
switches, won, like, and then immediately his substitute gets pinned.
Good stuff.
Gene with a more conventional tie this week.
Yeah, I really can't stand these pre-taped promos that they try to make seem live. Hey, what about that Mr. Perfect beating that Doink, huh?
What a match! All right, going through our opening round matches again. And Perfect and Hughes now scheduled for round one.
That's a good match.
What do you think, Cowboy, of these first round matchups? Anything jump out at you?
Bret Hart, Razor Ramon looks like by far the best matchup, right?
And that's of course a rematch. Pay-per-view rematch from the Royal Rumble. Do you remember liking that match, Raj?
They were the retainer picture, by the way, for Hogan.
Yes, they did. Yeah, they did a real picture finally. He looks more
concerned.
Which
one, Scott? The Royal Rumble?
The Bret Razor match from the Rumble. Do you remember liking that
match? That's the one I watched, Cowboy, right, Justin?
That's right. Yep.
Yes, I did. I liked that one a lot. Mm-hmm. Those guys are both awesome. I would.
Oh, Hogan took the time to cut a pre-tape promo. Isn't he generous?
It's probably from April.
It's probably from the next day.
He almost looks like he has two different colored eyes.
He does, from when Savage pasted him with the...
So it might have been from April then. His eyes still hadn't healed.
It is, yeah. Might have the next day. When Savage, boating accident or whatever the fuck it was, parasailing or... Well.
So at this point, you know... Hogan's like kind of inactive. Is that what I'm getting?
Yes, he's the world champion and hasn't been on TV since he won the title. Was on those two Raws, the Beefcake ones, not on again.
So is it this time period that really turns off the hardcore fan with the Hulk?
Yeah, they had already turned on him a little bit in like 91, 92, but this was what really pissed. This was like, all right, Vince, you brought this guy back. No one really wanted him too much. He gave him the title, and now he's not even showing up on TV to wrestle or anything like that, and it kind of felt like, what the hell was going on?
They spent all that time to condition the fans to think of Bret and guys like that as the future of the company, and then Hogan just kind of walked back in and took the belt again, you know?
And then went home.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's bullshit. It's a long promo.
He did have a couple of house show matches, him and Beefcake against the Beverly Brothers. I remember that. If you guys ever remember hearing about those. I feel like there was one on a Coliseum video. Any of you guys remember
those? Check. I don't remember those. I'm going to check now just on Graham and see if he did anything after WrestleMania.
How much do you think Jimmy Hart got paid just to stand there and like smile and...
Well, he had been around for
together.
A long time, so I'm sure he was making decent money.
Yeah. I mean, but he's always been a manager who's a mouthpiece for somebody, and now he just stands there while Hogan talks, you know?
Right, right.
It's a part of a trend with the Hulk. Anyone sharing the screen with Hulk?
Yeah, right here. So in Augusta, Georgia, March 9th. So it was actually before Mania. Hogan and Beefcake beat the Beverly Brothers. That's on the Grudges, Gripes, and Grunts tape.
So going through the cowboy stuff, the cowboy goes to class stuff, that's been the biggest, was the biggest eye-opener for me. I mean, I loved Hogan. I mean, I really, really loved it when I was young, when I was a kid. And like when you had me watch the Mega Powers thing, I just thought he was such an asshole. Like, I was like, he won't give this guy the spotlight for a second. And it felt like, I mean, I don't know, it was a good sell job because it felt like it's like his real personality, you know, because I think it might be.
So he had done nothing besides those promos there. And then in May, he fought great. Was it Muda? In Japan. Yeah, I just had it.
May of 93?
Yeah, he fought Muda, yep. And then he did a couple matches with Beefcake against Money Inc. on the house shows.
Wow, what a show that was. I wish that we could find that on tape or somewhere, this Wrestling Dontaku 93. Because the main event, I mean, that match, I mean, sure, Hogan and Muda was pretty good, but Inoki and Fujinami against Riki Choshu and Taneru, almost 27 minutes. Wow.
Hogan also teamed with Muda and Chono on separate occasions to take on the Road Warriors when he's in Japan there.
That's cool.
Meanwhile, I'm back on the show here. DiBiase's got the unbelievably awesome alternate white tuxedo, one of my favorites ever.
So just to clarify, Hogan had 7 matches with Beefcake against Money Inc. on house shows leading up to King of the Ring, but that was about it otherwise. So what's he talking about, Willie?
Right now he's got $100, and he needs a shoe shine. Heenan's very excited about that and wants to get in the ring himself.
I would.
Me, Teddy.
This is like old school DiBiase here, though.
Pain. Yeah, he kind of referred to that. Like I said it a million times before, and I'm going to say it again.
They're still the champions, right?
Yes.
Yeah, they're still the champions. I thought so. The rare DiBiase, and I mean, this conversation is obviously more suited for Parv, but I think the rare DiBiase tuxedos were the green and the purple, but I think those were like really old school, like 88 probably was the purple. I don't think he really wore that much past 88.
This young boy or girl is really shining IRS's shoes nicely.
I was like, he's been there before.
Just said the same thing.
What kind of shirt is that? Yeah, is that a Mania shirt? What is that?
I don't think Graham even knows because he keeps referring to it as the fan, a fan, the fan.
the fan.
It's definitely a boy.
Yeah.
That's what they called him a girl actually, at first.
It's Manami Toyota from All Japan.
Are you sure it's a boy? Oh, yeah, okay. Got a little bit of a mustache coming in.
That means nothing.
True. Well, we aren't in Wisconsin, though. So, in a great heel work here, go ahead, Steve, I'll let you explain what happened.
So they gave him $30. And IRS told him, let it be your first lesson, 70% to Uncle Sam. And they're all selling it off like it's disgusting, and the kid's like happy.
$30 for like 20 seconds work.
And yeah, you're on TV. Speaking of Wisconsin, I see women out with those pants that Tatanka's wearing all the time these days. Generally, people dropping your kids off at the school, which I'm sure happens in Jordan's neck of the woods as well.
Mm-hmm.
So this is Mike Bell and Tony DeVito in the ring.
Looks like that fan's father in the ring. It's Ted DiBiase right now.
Tony DeVito.
Tony DeVito.
Not pictured.
The guy really ate that DiBiase face plant. He leaped up in the air for him.
Wow.
That's IRS coming off the top.
There's a guy at the top left corner of the screen who just appears to have just a giant bud leaf on his shirt.
Yep. Big white shirt with the big.
I keep looking at that guy with the blue bowler hat on.
Yeah, I spotted him many times.
pretty good mullet on navy blue onesie here.
Navy blue onesie.
I don't know his name.
Is this DeVito now?
You just gave him his name.
The father of blue pants. I'm currently on NXT.
It's not much worse of a name than DeBaldi's.
True.
You know?
DeVito's got a very low center of gravity.
He even says we shouldn't feel so bad for the kid that with his acid wash jeans and his t-shirt and $30, he's probably going to have the party of a lifetime.
How cool would it be? Yeah, that's DeVito getting pummeled right now.
Okay, mm-hmm. Mike Bell is the other guy. Okay.
How cool would it be if the network just did like a where are they now on those fans? You know, like that kid and, you know, the couple that got engaged on
Raw.
The
Greenlander fan. Yeah. Are they still married?
Mm hmm. Backlund guy. That'd be the big one. Mm-hmm. Even Vladimir. They should do something on Vladimir.
Yeah, why not?
I feel like they have.
I feel like they have, too. Like, around time of one of the WrestleManias.
Yeah, I think they did do something to Vladimir. It was either in the magazine or on the website, I forget.
Eileen Graf. She's been had a, forced to move over a few seats, though.
Pretty basic squash here for the former champs. Well, current champs. Former champs. Are they the champs?
Yes.
I just thought that myself. I don't think they had lost the belts for any reason yet.
Crowd really all over Irwin at this point.
Irwin.
Extended squash, tag squash here. Went a little longer than I thought it would.
Can't believe DiBiase was able to pick up DeVito.
Need a little help with Jannetty in the back. So yes. a little workout beforehand.
But he's not as red and sweaty as he has been in previous episodes.
Yeah, he's not flushed like he's about to have like his blood pressure is going through the roof.
Jannetty have those kind of problems too.
Yes.
Yes, he did.
Very much so.
He's
it's only a problem if it's really affecting you.
Yeah,
I don't know if Jannetty
is still with us, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Barely. I've seen him at a couple of cons, you know, like conventions and stuff. And sometimes I see him talking to like fans and stuff, and you could barely understand what he's saying. He like mumbles half the time.
He'll shine your shoes for $30.
I rest with the right off clothesline picks up the win on DeVito.
Hardest move to pull off in Sega Genesis.
Oh wow. Yeah, that was impossible.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I have a DVD somewhere of Jannetty's two 2005 matches, so I'm going to have to let Roger borrow that and do that for a class someday.
He was in King of Trios a couple years ago for Chikara, and then
they're at the belts.
2000, he was in the WWE in 2005, Justin?
Yeah, he did like a one-week thing with when Kurt Angle was about to fight Shawn Michaels at WrestleMania. He did... he was trying to relive Sean's career in weeks to like kind of taunt him, and so Jannetty came out and they fought. They had a great match, Kurt and Jannetty on SmackDown, and then on Raw, Sean and Jannetty had a tag match like a Rocker reunion. So it was pretty cool. Both matches were pretty good.
Nice. So Jannetty was okay for those.
Yeah, he comes and goes in spurts. He's been fired by like 18 times, I think. Did they bring him back? Always,
yeah. Nature of the beast, as they say.
He'll basically come back, steal the show. Find out he's got a shot and go out and get high.
And then blow it.
Yep.
Look at that guy with the old school Hulkamania t-shirt on right there.
Announced a match for WWF Mania. Owen versus Mr. Hughes in Owen's comeback match.
Oh.
Mm. Nice.
So it was after that. When was he hurt?
The Macho Man just said it was a comeback match. Good luck on your comeback. So must have just been out for a couple months because we saw
maybe
him.
when Razor attacked him.
No, because he had him and High Energy Coco had matches after that. I think.
High Energy.
Yeah, the Ring Girl's outfit's pretty '90s.
Mm-hmm.
As is Crush's outfit.
As is his opponent's, or is that timeless?
Bobby Who.
Bobby what?
Bobby who?
Crush is always an instant contender for 90s and mullet. We know that.
Yeah. Yeah. And we should just name the mullet award after him at this point.
This guy looked like he had a mullet but decided to put it in a tail. So.
Yeah. Well, he knew he couldn't compete with Crush.
Yeah.
Right. He didn't want to be embarrassed.
Head games.
Yeah, he tanked it.
Bobby Hoo going for a full Nelson and Crush. A questionable strategy at best.
Angry that it doesn't work, too.
Very ballsy. Very ballsy.
Be interesting to see how Crush's Hawaiian training comes into play here.
Yes.
Very tropical.
Did they show him back on the beach, you know, via satellite a few weeks back?
Yes.
Getting some protein in with his poi.
Big spin kick there.
That wasn't much of a spin kick, honestly.
It was more of a flail.
Bill Alfonso seems to be like the hardest working referee in the WWF. It's like he definitely has reffed like 60-65% of the Raw matches, even more than anybody else. You don't see Earl much on Raw.
No.
I don't think we've seen Earl do a match yet. It's usually, it seems like it's Alfonso, Kyoto, or Angry Bean, pretty much, those three guys.
Steve, does the crowd give as little of a shit about Crush as it looks like with no voice on?
Yes, absolutely. It's quieted down quite a bit. It was pretty decent for the Doink Perfect match, and they were really getting on IRS.
I want this guy's fired up anyway.
He wants to see the coconut crunch.
It was a big postseason for the Islanders. They ended the Penguins' quest for a three-peat in that spring in 93. Probably the last time the Islanders were relevant in the NHL playoffs. Pretty much.
Big bear hug.
Bobby Hoo looks like he's crying in the bear hug.
Kind of looks like Officer Farva there.
Yeah, he does.
No, that's all I can see.
Yeah, right.
It looks just like him.
He then it's like, wait, his last name is who? So his mom must have been dating band members in the '70s.
Uh oh. Yeah, lift him up and slam him. Nobody will care.
Just get him a liter of cola.
Yeah.
Hose him down.
Of cola.
Use a liter of cola right now to stay up during this match.
Yeah, right?
Crush really half-assed that slam, too.
Yeah.
You almost him up for a second.
Yeah.
Between that and the kick, he's not 100% there tonight.
He's mailing it in. Well, if you were told you had 3 minutes with Bobby Hoo, you probably couldn't really get the juices going either.
Yeah, pretty much.
We're going to start things off by having him lock you in a full Nelson.
And you're going to switch to a bear hug.
And there's the cranium crunch head vice.
So how many of you guys used to put this on your friends back in the day?
Yep.
See if it worked.
Although I stopped after one time I tried to do it to my cousin, and he didn't go down. He stayed on his feet and just like jacked my jaw, and that was it. I stopped doing it after that.
Don't try this at home, as they say.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to go deep into the island of Molokai in order to learn that hold.
Did they say that? Did they ever say, don't try this at home even in 93?
No.
I don't think so.
They didn't care. They wanted you to.
Yeah.
I got, when I was seven or eight years old, I did a Macho Man elbow off my couch. Landed on my Pomeranian, bit me, and I had to go to the hospital. Bit me right in the
You elbowed the dog?
It was an accident. I didn't see this dog was vicious. I mean, it was weighed about 4 pounds, but it was awful. And I landed on it by accident. And, you know, most dogs, especially a little dog, will cower away. The thing, right when it was under me, just took a big chunk right out of my gut.
Wow.
So I was trying it at home, too. That's my point.
I used to just use Josh Richter as my landing pad, not animals.
Right. Yes, many.
This will quickly become my favorite segment, Savage Bobby alone while Vince is waiting in the ring for an interview.
Nick's double XL behind him.
Yeah, huh?
There you go.
Here comes Razor Ramon for a chat.
See, look, can we get DeVito in there to beat him?
I like this look here.
What is that?
Wig like pants and no shirt.
Celebrating with Marty backstage. Forgot he had a segment.
Hey, Razor.
Jump off the roof when you're done and just slowly float to the ground.
You know, kid's placement of his face on that pinfall on Razor is
a little unfortunate.
Yeah.
They call that North South.
Yeah.
They call it the quick initiation ritual.
Tony Vag.
Should have been the 6'9" kid.
Yeah.
That's what I call the reverse Vag.
Badger.
So is he talking about the 1-2-3 kid now?
Yeah, that little stick man did not beat him.
The best Razor's hair's looked in a while. He might. It's not like all straggly. It's combed perfectly. He was set for this promo. The Bob Backlund fan looks very concerned.
When the kid hit the Tony Vadja on me.
The veg.
What are they chanting, Steve?
1-2-3.
Tony Vag.
Tony Vag.
There he is right there. That guy with the blue shirt on. He looks like a Tony Vag.
No, so he's got some cash. Still got the money wrappers on it from the bank.
One of them's rolled up.
I just borrowed this from Ted DiBiase.
Is he offering the kids some money here, Steve?
Obviously, I was wondering. He said that $2,500 they would people would sell their mothers for that. So let's go around the horn. $2,500. Would you sell your mother?
Now, hang on. In fairness, in 1993, $2,500, not now.
Okay, well.
Am I selling my mother just for the night or like forever?
I don't know.
Let's ask Aaron George. He's good with these
questions.
Yeah,
I was going to say, I'll sell JYD's mom for that.
I'll sell JYD's mom for $2,500.
Would you bang JYD's mom for $2,500?
Junkyard dog?
Would you?
I don't JYD's know badge.
Answer the question, Scott. Would you do it?
Just get me home. Come on, JD, let's go home. I don't want to answer the question.
Gotta be an inside joke.
Okay.
The Hitman coming out. Made this poor bastard show up to this taping with his tights just to do this, not wrestle at all.
Why couldn't Vince have worn like alternate like blue tie?
Yeah, just change the tie and the handkerchief.
Switch it up like Razor, you know?
Yumbo.
At least it's not the it's not Gorilla Monsoon's old school paisley tuxes.
Oh, Vince a little frustrated at first because Brett's microphone doesn't seem to be working. Brett saying this happened, losing happens to the best of us.
Is there a person in a blue clown wig back there?
Yes. That's Shakes.
Oh, yeah. There you go. There's Shakes.
That's Yumbo the clown.
Yumbo.
Yumbo the ham clown.
What was the clown? What was the clown that Mick Foley brought in?
Yerpel,
yeah.
She does things with a balloon. What did she say? She does things with a balloon that'll blow your mind. Or something like that.
That's what's the artist, Gene Shalit? Is that his name? He's right behind Brett.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. the movie critic.
Yep.
No, not the movie. He was the guy that did the painting.
Bob Ross. Bob Ross.
It's a cross.
Gene Shalit had the big, thick black mustache.
Yeah, man, it was him then.
He was a happy, happy little.
That's who you were talking about, Justin.
Yeah.
I'm gonna paint a woodchuck on that.
That's right. Bob Ross didn't have the mustache. Yeah, he looked like Gene Shalit, that guy.
No, he had a full beard, Bob Ross, and a big afro.
You see him back there behind Vince now?
Oh yeah, definitely.
So Razor's pissed. Will Kid accept the challenge? Go.
But Hitman calling him out saying
is that Heathcliff?
Some insider terms too.
What the hell's Heathcliff doing on Monday at 9 o'clock?
Yeah.
QVC.
More QVC. Is that Family Matters? No, what's that?
See, I think they mainly do these on the tape ones. Maybe to, I don't know.
Public access channel.
C-SPAN.
Archer Family. C-SPAN.
Oh, uh-oh.
Public access.
Hey, Johnny Polo. My favorite.
There he is, JR.
I vote for this to be best Raw moment of all time.
Ever.
You wanted that shirt, didn't you?
I wanted anything to do with Johnny Polo. I wanted to be him. I wanted to be managed by him, owned by him.
Want a Jerome Polo mullet?
Big debut, Adam Bomb in the house.
There we go.
Is that Johnny Polo, the manager?
Yep.
I've never heard of him.
There's only one Johnny Polo, Roger.
How dare you.
Was he ever anybody else?
Guy called Raven.
That seems more familiar. Yeah. Was that in WWF?
ECW, WCW, WWF. He was Raven.
Poem written about him.
That was Johnny Polo was, not Adam Bomb.
Correct. Johnny Polo became Raven, yep.
Anyone else just see Ben Morris in the crowd sporting the Marvel Comics hat?
Sure did.
Yes, it is.
Big glasses.
Phil Apollo, the shape of Phil Apollo. We haven't seen him in a while.
Johnny Polo, so awesome.
The one thing I never got about Johnny Polo is why he had a golf club. Wouldn't a polo mallet work?
Well,
you know,
he's not all about polo. That's just his name. But he lives in country clubs. He's a rich guy, so they play golf.
JD, don't ever question anything about it again. You're done.
Can't call him Johnny Golf.
Johnny Golf.
Adam Bomb's got that shape look. Vince must have loved him, right?
Oh, yeah.
Adam Bomb versus Humpty Dumpty in this.
Right. Look at the fucking difference.
Phil Apollo.
I can't believe they're doing that to a pregnant woman.
Now, do you guys remember? He was on this before and wore the
same Phil Apollo's been, sadly, his gut's been on here before. Yeah.
Brutal.
I was a bit, actually, this was one character I liked immediately was Adam Bomb. I was a big Adam Bomb.
I thought you meant Phil Apollo.
No, I like Phil Apollo the early years.
Adam Bomb does have a great look. I mean,
Phil Apollo needs to wear trunks that leave a little more to the imagination.
Leave a lot more.
Adam Bomb just like pops when you look at him. You know what I mean?
He's one of those guys that like he always thought he was should have been a bigger deal than he was. Mm-hmm. Even as Wrath in WCW, I thought.
Yep. And I think he was on the way there. Just kind of got cut off at the knees.
Derailed. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Nice back suplex there.
I was definitely a big Adam Bomb guy when he debuted. Mm-hmm.
JP, baby.
I always wanted his Hasbro figure.
Yeah, I don't think I ever got that one.
You know, it came out
at the very end.
The last time we looked through your figures, I don't remember you having an Adam Bomb one.
Well, there was that set at the very end, like the last set that was really hard to find. Was him, 1-2-3 Kid, Smoking Guns. That set was very difficult. By the way, guys, it is official Macho Man going to the Hall of Fame.
Yes, I saw it on the screen just now.
Cool.
Inducted by Hogan.
And he's going to be buried by Hogan. And he's going to be buried by Hogan.
Yes.
Steve, you say inducted by Steph?
Yes. Yep.
Imagine that. So, Lanny, we'll make a deal with you. We'll put your brother in, but we don't want you anywhere near the building. We don't want you doing any of your weird soliloquies and none of that frisbee throwing shit either. So
they don't like the genius?
Nobody does.
Nobody likes a genius, Raj.
No.
Their Woods was a man from Downers Grove.
So do they, seriously, they won't let him at the, their brothers,
no, most of these idiots, yeah. He's accepting for.
No, he'll accept for him.
Very nice.
Had a bomb, a nice top rope clothesline. You tell him, Johnny.
Oh.
Big year
Phil
for Johnny.
Phil Apollo's not looking good there.
Oh, my
fucking
God.
Camel toe hanging all out.
If you guys have ever seen the movie Waiting, that was the GOAT.
Right. What is with these pin combinations tonight? Out of bombs.
I think there's just nothing else you could do with Phil Apollo with that.
Missionary Mile
Island. What an awful. I hope he got paid extra for showing up and having to be like looking like that on national TV. My lord.
He looked like a less athletic version of John Lovitz.
It's awful.
There's someone even less athletic than John Lovitz?
In between the tits, the grundle, the fucking gut. Awful.
Is there anything that he could have possibly worn
the fupa
to make it better? I don't
nothing,
know.
I don't know.
Overalls, make him a hillbilly.
Yeah, I don't
That's
know.
That's about your only option.
Razor I mean anything, sweatpants. But what he wore just the tightest pair of underwear he could find, and that was it.
Brutal.
Look at Bam Bam. He's a big guy. He wears that thing. He's fine.
What's he got going on, Steve? Working out?
Yeah, they're going to have a word with Bam Bam coming out. So Bam Bam, of course, is stretching and while holding making sure he's loosened up for his interview. Talked about Razor Ramon.
Virgil figure.
Next week.
IRS. Macho Man. Virgil.
Comes with flag and championship belt.
Is that Rick Martel in that series as well?
Yep. Someday. I'm going to do that piece on my Hasbro figure, so dig them out. Someday.
Someday.
A little different look for an interview, a backstage interview against the curtain.
Yeah, I like it.
It's like ECW.
That's like when Sean did that interview, like with who did he do it with? And it was like near like an exit door. Remember a few Raws ago, or was he like a fern, like a heater or something? I'm trying to remember who he was interviewing with.
The curtain is filthy. It's got big stains on it behind Bam Bam's head and stuff.
Well, Bam Bam. Go ahead, Steve.
Okay, Bam Bam is saying that he's going to bring in Luna Vachon with him next week. He's going against Marty Jannetty for the Intercontinental title. And Marty, of course, you know, his long partnership with Sensational Sherry, she'll be there.
Oh, so she is around still. Very interesting.
Okay.
All right, well, that brings an end to that episode. So I want to go through our awards really quick here. Match of the night, I think, is easily Perfect and Doink.
Yes.
Not even close.
Most 90s?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I feel...
Johnny Polo.
Yeah, I mean, how do you not give it to Crush? Unless we're giving him best mullet.
Maybe Filippalo if we go by his waist size.
Filippalo should win something for that performance.
Most grotesque.
When he, most the poor guy tried to do a backward somersault off that top rope clothesline, and he just couldn't commit.
I'll go Crush.
Yeah, I'll go Crush too. Oh, debut though. Polo will be noted, right? Big debut.
Yep. Anyone disagree with that Crush for that?
I'm trying to think. Nothing jumps out. Crush is a good go-to if there's nothing obvious. Yeah, maybe the kid that shined the shoes. I don't know.
I'll go Crush. Anyone disagree?
No.
No, it's fine.
Okay. Nah. How about for
Best Mullet?
Well, I feel stupid giving it to Crush again. Let's give it to that kid that was in the front row. He was on two episodes straight.
Yeah. I'm done with that.
Okay. And let's do some grades. JD?
Gosh, it's weird because I had a really, really good match, and then I had to watch Filippalo. So I'll say 6.5.
Okay.
And that's heavy on the first match there. a lot of the points are from there.
Willie?
First number that popped in my head was 6. And yeah, all on the strength of the first match. If they'd even threw a couple decent average matches in there, it would have been right up there with the last episode.
Okay. JR?
Well, I'll say Perfect Doink was a third of the episode, and that was a great match. And the rest of the episode, to me, was like a 1. So I'll give it a 5, and that's only because I'd give that opener a 4.
Cowboy?
I was thinking 6 as well for all the reasons stated. Filippalo, the unintentional comedy, actually added to the experience for me. So that takes it from a 5 to a 6.
I'll go 5.5. I forgot about Johnny Polo.
Well, see, for Polo and Adam Bomb, I was going to give it a 14, but minus Filippalo, I'll give it a 5. So,
29 divided by 5.
Yeah. It's about a 6. Like just under the brand's about like 5.75 to a 6. Yeah, about a 6.
All right, let's wrap it up, baby.
Good times as always. High waisted, light green tights.
Oh, it's the way to go. JD, thanks for coming in last minute. We appreciate it. Scott, we are done for the week, of course, on tomorrow night. We're recording Kevin Kelly, actually, so it should be up sometime tomorrow evening. We have Carrie Silkin on from Ring of Honor.
Oh, fantastic.
And then you got Main Event Wednesday. This is the big year in review, right? You got a
year in review. We got the Core 4 plus 1, hopefully 2. Okay. But we definitely have 5, and I'm shooting for 6 right now. So it's going to be a big year in review 2014. So, JD, get yourself ready because we may not be able to shut Reesh off. So, and you, Willie, voice of reason.
I'll just listen. Just listen and snicker. Tell them to charge y'all.
All right, we look forward to that. And then next Monday, Scott, we're back. Rumble 2004.
How fitting.
Starting a new year. Yeah, it's very fitting, of course, with the Rumble coming up. And we have a very special guest will be in the house, and that's Graham Cawthon.
And both of them in Philadelphia.
Yes, that's right. So a lot to talk about there.
Yep.
And then next Wednesday, Scott Keith returns for a mailbag episode as well.
Excellent.
So.
Excellent.
Big week of special guests. I feel like Keith always comes in on the back end of a big guest for the week. So it's an exciting episode there. Graham Monday, Scott Wednesday, Kevin tomorrow, main event Wednesday this week as well. So until then, we'll talk to you later. Everyone take care. Roger, I hope you show up in that outfit tomorrow.
I mean, I would wear it a little better, to be honest. Life is a blast when you know what you're doing. Better know what you're doing for your life get ruined. Life is a thrill when your skill is developed. If you ain't got a skill or a trade, then shut the hell up. Life is a blast when you know what you're doing. Better know what you're doing for your life get ruined. Life is a thrill when your skill is developed. If you ain't got a skill or a trade, shut the hell up. You can be a rapper, an actor, a gun clapper, a comedian providing laughter as a bachelor. A pastor of a chapter, a doctor, a lawyer, a fireman, hired hand, whether boy or girl, it's your world, your future, you control it. Whatever you do early on is how you mold it. I record it, sold it, told it to you. Mr. Dell wouldn't tell you nothing that ain't true. Because life is a blast when you know what you're doing. Best to know what you're doing for your life get ruined. Life is a thrill when your skill is developed. If you ain't got a skill or trade, then shut the hell up. Think you're able to label the hyro sound? You still haven't found a comparable variable. You're able to label the hyro sound? You still haven't found a comparable variable. All you mark. Yeah.